Good morning. Looking forward to spending some time in thought with you, with our Bibles open, our hearts open, and thinking about some of the things that God has revealed to us. So let me begin by just saying thank you. Thank you for being here, and I do hope you have your Bibles with you and you're ready to think a little bit. Consider some things that that God has shared with us. Thankful we'll get to start this brand new year together. It's a great day and a great blessing. I don't know if your home is currently or has ever been in any way similar to ours, but in my house, we love Legos. We've got Legos everywhere. We've got big Legos, we got little Legos. I mean, all I have to do is just walk around. I just pick up Legos wherever I go. And I picked up a big fat one on purpose because I thought, you know, one of those little ones would be hard for the people on the back row to see. But, you know, that's a genuine Lego right there. It says Lego on it, maybe made for littler kids. But we got Legos everywhere. And if you've had children in your house at various times, maybe you've gone through that. Maybe you enjoyed them when you were younger. Maybe you still enjoy them. Legos are fun to play with. You get to create. You get to build. You get to tear down and recreate. Use your imagination. Legos are great, but they are a nightmare to step on. And for as many of you that have played, if you've ever played with Legos, you probably stepped on a Lego. If you've ever had kids that have played with Legos, you probably stepped on a Lego. And if you've not ever done this, not ever had this great pleasure, this great experience, then you are really missing out. Just imagine, if you've never stepped on a Lego, in order to think through this for the rest of the time with us today, just imagine the most evil, most painful little thing in the floor, and you've stepped on it, and you've stepped on a Lego. That's what it's like. To step on a Lego has even become like a proverbial statement. It's become a meme. It's become a taunt. It's become one of those things that what do you say to someone if you really want harm to come on them? You say, boy, I hope you step on a Lego. That has come to be a thing in our social media world. YouTube videos of people stepping on them. I even had them replace beds of coal. Instead of walking across a bed of burning coals, walk across a bed of Legos. It's just that, it's that bad. One guy even created a website recently that he ranked, not just by his personal preference, but by scientifically having thought through it, he ranked the 25 most painful Legos to step on. From 25 to number, this is the most painful one, he said. Scientifically proven, this is the most painful one to step on. Well, here's why I bring it up. Not only because I've done it, but one time after having stepped on a Lego, and I'm sitting there recovering, I thought, boy, there are lots of different times in my life that I unintentionally hurt myself. There are times that I just am walking right through life thinking everything is great, but then a decision I have made becomes painful. And I thought, it hurts to step on a Lego. And I thought, in my strange mind, I thought, boy, that fits perfectly. How so often you and I will be walking through life and then we will unintentionally do something that brings either great pain to ourselves or we will leave something in our wake that brings great pain upon someone that we really love. Now here's the way that we really think about it. Oftentimes I will do something or say something. I will go somewhere or do some type of action. I will sin. And without meaning to, without having thought, boy, this is a great idea, I will sin. And having participated in that sin, it'll bring great harm. And so the way I want us to think about that today is that stepping on a Lego doesn't just mean stepping on a Lego. It means participating in something, doing something or saying something that brings pain. Specifically, it means participating in sin in such a way that it brings harm. Self-inflicted wounds are not any fun. But especially when we think about something so serious, not something trivial, not something trite, but something so serious as sin before the Almighty God, that's pain. We need the lights on. We need to be on the lookout. We need our eyes to be educated. We need our eyes to be wide open so that the path that we take is clear. The path that we take is smooth. The path that we take is cleared of any types of obstructions that would cause us to be in pain. I think about it this way. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, he says, there's a narrow path that leads to life, and there's a broad path that leads to destruction. You see, the narrow path that leads to life is the one that has been cleared out. It's the one that has the Legos removed from it. Those things that cause you pain have been dealt with. So we're going to think through this for a few minutes today, this concept of stepping on a Lego. And the first question we want to ask and answer is this: why does it happen so often? Why do we do it? Maybe it's just me. Why do I do it so often? Well, I think the reason that most of us would step on a Lego is because they just seem so harmless. They're so small. They just sit there. They're so, the concept behind them is, you know, kids and imagination and happiness. They just seem harmless. Nothing about a Lego is daunting or scary. They're just these tiny little bricks. They're not a threat to anybody. And so we normally don't take them into account when we're walking. That's the way I think about it. Man, a Lego, even a big fat one like this, it's still so small compared to me that when I'm walking through a room, I don't really think about where these are. And oftentimes that's the way that we approach sin. So many different types of sin are just, they seem so small. They seem so harmless. You know, of course we'll avoid those big things. We'll avoid big things like murder and abuse and sensual sins that we know are magnified in the eyes of the public. All those things that we would know that nobody would dispute them as being reprehensible. But then there's those sins that are just so small. They don't stir us up as much. Look with me at Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 21, Jesus is going to start a comparison of several big and quote-unquote smaller sins. Matthew 5, 21, he says, look, you've heard it said, you shall not commit murder. Basically, we all know murder is sin and wrong. He says in verse 22, but I tell you, I say to you, you'd better watch that temper. You'd better watch your anger. You'd better watch the things you'd say. And you better not insult your brother. So you see, it's one thing to have literally committed murder. He says it is a grave, grave thing for you to have this feeling in your heart. For you to hate someone, for you to want to destroy someone, for you to insult someone in a way that brings great pain and wounds them. He says it's not just murder you've got to worry about. In Matthew chapter 5, you go down just a few verses to verse 27. He says, you've heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. We all understand. There's no equivocation on the fact that it is wrong to take someone else's spouse. A man can't have another man's wife. A woman can't have another man's husband. Just clearly, we know that's wrong. He says, but I tell you, in verse 28, you also ought to be worried about, you ought to be concerned about the concept of lust. Be protecting your heart. Be concerned about the things that you think. Be concerned about what it is you're putting into your mind, what it is you're feeding into your soul. It's not just that you've avoided the grand, overt sin of adultery. What does your mind look like? What does your heart look like? What are your motivations? What's your desire? What's your will? You see, the words that we speak, the thoughts that we think, the Lord is absolutely, let me emphasize this, the Lord is absolutely concerned with the small things. And you and I had better be as well. In Genesis chapter 3, at verse 6, when speaking of the temptation of Eve there, Genesis 3, verse 6, it says that she took of the fruit and ate. Now, doesn't that sound small? Doesn't that sound innocent? Doesn't that sound harmless? Many of you probably had a little fruit this morning. Maybe you're going to have a little fruit this afternoon with your lunch or your dinner. She took of the fruit and she ate. That just seems so harmless. What could possibly be sinful about that? You know, that fruit, think about it, that fruit was going to help her to be strong. And that fruit was going to help Eve to feel good. That fruit was going to help Eve to be happy. Right? What things have you done? What things are you looking at that you say, now this cannot be wrong because that's going to help me feel happy. This place I'm going to go, this thing I'm going to do cannot be wrong. It's going to help me feel good. God had commanded them to avoid eating from that particular tree. To do anything else would be sinful. Something so, quote unquote, small was really huge. To ignore the Word of God is as serious as it gets. When He said, don't eat from this tree, to eat from it is to now have separated yourself from Almighty God. Sin of any stripe, what we might try to whitewash as small, sin of any stripe is so serious that it leads to separation from God, Isaiah 59:2. And this is the way that sin often works. It seems so small, it seems so harmless, but then we take that step and we're in pain. Sin makes these grand promises. I'll make you feel good. I'll make you happy. I'll give you a sense of satisfaction. But all it ever does is lead to pain and separation from God. I think oftentimes you and I participate in sin. We step on a Lego because it just has seemed so harmless at first. And it ends up being so painful. I think also that it happens so often is because there's just so many of them. There are so many Legos in the world. The studies have been done, the information is out there, that it's been estimated that there's enough Legos that in the 7+ billion people on the earth, there's enough Legos for every single man, woman, and child to have 83 Legos of their own. That's a lot of Legos. If that's not a big enough number for you, how about this? There's enough Legos out there in circulation right now that if you laid them end to end, it would circle the world 18 times. I think at least enough trip for once around the world resides at our house right now. We have so many, but that's the point. They're everywhere. Everywhere you turn, there's another Lego. Every room, every house, there's another one. No wonder we're stepping on them all the time. It's because they're everywhere. I think you understand that temptations, opportunities to sin, boy, they're everywhere. There's no shortage of ways and places for us to sin. It's no wonder that we all struggle. Every last one of us. That's the reason why in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, and then at verse 10, the Apostle John says, look, if you pretend like you don't sin, if you pretend like you don't have sin, if you pretend like you are not stepping on things that hurt you regularly, you're a liar. They're everywhere. Again, in Genesis chapter 4 at verse 7, this time speaking to Cain, God says, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, listen to this, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it. Sin is just waiting. It's crouching at the door, waiting for you to just open it up and step in so that it can destroy you. It can pounce on you. That's why it says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, speaking of Satan, it says, be sober-minded and be watchful because your adversary, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour, seeking somebody to hurt, seeking to find somebody to pull away from the life-giving God. He's called a tempter, Matthew chapter 4, verse 3. It says he has schemes in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, it says this, so that we would not be outwitted by Satan, for we're not ignorant of his desires. We're not ignorant of the fact that everywhere and every place at every turn, Satan has laid traps. The opportunity to sin is everywhere. It's not hard. It is not difficult to find some sin to participate in. It's not hard to find a place or a person with whom we can engage in sin and hurt each other. Part of the reason we step on so many is because there are so many of them. But here's the other side of the coin, if you will. The opportunity to sin is everywhere, but the opportunity to do good is also everywhere. We can turn these things from a negative into a positive, as it says in Galatians 6, verse 10. So then, as we have opportunity, and I'm convinced that the implication there is this, and we've got a bunch of opportunities. If you will just open your eyes and look, if you will just be aware and be ready, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially those of the household of faith. We're constantly presented with choices. We're constantly presented with paths that we can walk down. Will we give in to sin, or will we capitalize on the opportunity to encourage and help? Will we take the path that's like the bed of Legos, or we take the path that's clear? It happens, we step on them so often because there's so many. But don't feel like, don't even begin to think you're stuck in that place where you have no option. As the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, Almighty God is so powerful and so concerned about us is that in every situation where we are tempted, there is a way of escape. You know what that means, to use the language you're using today? You don't have to step on a Lego, because He's created a way for you to escape. And yet we keep doing it. Thirdly, I think we do it so often because we fail to clean up. That means our suffering is very often self-inflicted. We're the ones who did the walking and the stepping. It was absolutely avoidable. All we had to do was clean up. I know in our home, that call goes out quite a bit. Pick up your stuff. But it's so easy to point the finger, isn't it? I stepped on that because you left it there. What is it I've left in my wake? What is it I've left behind that others are stepping on? What is it that I've failed to clean up? I want you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 40 and note this beautiful language. It's speaking of the coming King, the coming Messiah, Jesus the Christ who is on His way. And I want you to see the imagery here, that what one is to do when the King is coming to town, when the King is coming to visit your city, you clean the paths. You make sure that the roads are absolutely clear. No rocks, no Legos left for Him to step on. It says in Isaiah 40, verse 3, a voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, every mountain and hill made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The people would get ready for the appearance of the King. They'd remove all the rocks. They'd remove all the debris. They'd remove all the ugly things that would make the entrance of the King into the city less than ideal. And so in passages like Matthew chapter 3, when Isaiah 40 is quoted in Matthew 3, speaking of John the Baptist, we see that John the Baptist was getting the people ready for the arrival of the King of Kings. He came to clear the path so that people's minds and hearts were ready for Jesus to appear. And the same is true for you and me right here, right now. Hearts must be prepared to accept the message of the gospel. Temptations and other obstacles have to be removed from our lives so that we can stop hurting ourselves and that we can stop hurting others. We can stop participating in sin. Let me ask you this question. Are you tired of hurting? Are you tired of being in pain? Well, then here's the message. Clean up. Clean up. Like the prodigal son in Luke 15, he found himself in a place where he was hurting, where he was tired of hurting, and what he had to do was clean up, get out of the pig pen. He had to confess that he had sinned, confess that safety was only found at the Father's house. He had to repent of the things he had done. He had to get up and go home in order to be restored to life. Like the people wearing white robes in Revelation chapter 7, verse 14. In Revelation 7, 14, we see those that have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. Those robes come up pure, clean, sparkling white. If you're tired of being hurt, then it is time to, like the prodigal son, to get up and go home. If you're tired of being hurt, then it's like those in Revelation 7. It's time to have your robes washed. Here's what this means for you and me. Here's the way to summarize some of those passages. Admit that you're a sinner. Admit and confess that Jesus the Christ is the only way to be saved. As it says in Acts chapter 4, verse 7, there's no other name under heaven by which man can be saved. You must admit that Jesus Christ is Lord. And then you must be washed in a watery grave, united with Him in His death and His resurrection, in order to have a brand new life, just like it says in Romans 6, 5. You see, those things take place when you're finally ready to come to the One who can make you pure and clean and whole. Until then, you just keep on hurting. What things are in your path right now that make it painful? What needs to be cleaned up and cleared out of your life? In a moment, you will have an opportunity to confess and be cleansed. In a moment, you will have an opportunity to be washed and be cleansed. So often, we're feeling the pain of stepping on a Lego because we won't clean up. The other major question I want us to answer is this. Not only why does it happen so often, but why does it hurt? Why does it hurt so much? Well, it's not surprising, but scientists have spent significant time and money researching this very thing. Why does it hurt so much to step on a Lego is an actual question seeking to be answered by brilliant people. And they've come up with a lot of very, very good answers. Number one, they say it hurts so much to step on a Lego because the bottoms of our feet, the soles of our feet, have so many nerve endings. They are so sensitive. It's kind of like this idea. You know, you step on a Lego and it hurts to walk for a little bit. You sit on your foot wrong. You sit down wrong and then your foot goes to sleep. Is it super easy to walk then after that? No, it's because there's so many nerves there that it's keeping us, seeking to keep us balanced. We have sensitive souls. That's why it hurts. With this in mind, I want you to think about this. God has created you. God has created each one of us with a sensitive soul. We have a conscience. It's got to be trained. It's got to be informed. But we've been God-given a conscience. We're able to love. We're able to be loved. We're able to hurt. We're able to be hurt. We're able to recognize what's wrong. We're able to recognize what is right. We're able to feel pangs of guilt. We're able to feel the idea of pride and joy and happiness. We have been created with sensitive souls. And so when we step on something that hurts, it hurts us. So the realization, when you finally come to realize that you are participating in sin, it ought to wound you deeply. David in 2 Samuel chapters 11 and 12, when he's finally presented with the idea, you are the thief, you are the scoundrel, you are the one who has stolen and taken from those who had nothing. When he finally realizes his sin, he's cut deeply, and he confesses, and he pleads, and he mourns, and he grieves because he recognizes he has hurt Almighty God. Peter, in Luke chapter 22, look at verse 62. It's a verse you know really well. Luke 22 is the time when Jesus has been put on trial, been taken from place to place, false accusations, lies hurtled towards the Lord and Savior Jesus. Peter's following at a distance, and he sees what happens. Others come up to Peter. I know you. You've been with that guy. You've been with that Jesus. You're part of his crew, right? And once, twice, and yet again, he says no. And finally, he denies it in a very emphatic and very deplorable way. And then in Luke 22, there at the end of that chapter, it says that he and Jesus look at one another. Their eyes meet. And Peter recognizes his sensitive soul is finally touched. And it says that he went out and wept bitterly. Here's another way of thinking about it. Not just from the way that we are hurt, not just from the way that our souls are touched, but what about the way in which we injure and hurt others? Generally speaking, we are easily susceptible to the pain that comes from speaking those little bitty things, words. It says in Proverbs chapter 18 at verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. We all know how deeply words can cut. We know how the things that are said will just stick with us and they will continue to sting us for a long time. That's why in a place like Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, the command from God is this: let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, for edifying, for encouraging, for instructing. Only those things that fit the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. So often we lay out those traps, we lay out those things that when they are come across, they wound and they hurt, because we hurt, we want someone else to hurt. But he tells us in a place like this, in Ephesians 4:29, only say those things that are going to build up and encourage and offer grace. Because remember, the people you're talking to have sensitive souls just like you. Remember, your foot hurts when you step on a Lego because your soul's so sensitive, S-O-L-E. Your words can hurt because our S-O-U-Ls are sensitive. How sensitive is your soul? Are you feeling the pain of having sinned against God? Two more, and then we'll be finished, and these will go by quickly, I think. It hurts so much to step on a Lego because it takes us by surprise. It's rare indeed, only if you're making a silly YouTube video, that you do it on purpose. For the rest of us, normal people, when we step on a Lego, it's an accident. We didn't mean to. And it surprises us. You're walking through the dark, you can barely tell where anything is, and then boom. So part of what makes it hurt is that it's just so out of the blue, it's so surprising. If we have the opportunity to brace ourselves, it's not as bad. And so the Lord spends a great deal of time in Scripture seeking to get our attention. You know why? So that we can brace ourselves. So that we can brace ourselves and ready ourselves and steady ourselves against the pain and the temptation of sin. So he says several times, like in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, look, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. As if you were like, wow, I can't believe I would ever be tried. As if I would ever suffer. I'm so shocked. Pain and trials are part of this world, Jesus says in John 16:33. The variable is how we handle them. If we are braced and ready, it becomes not immune, but it becomes more bearable. In 1 John chapter 3 at verse 13, he says again, look, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised, brother, that the world hates you. We have to stop being shocked when faithfulness leads to opposition. We have to stop being shocked when our sin leads to pain. The choices we make, the words we speak, I said it before, I'll say it again, these things lead either to peace or to pain. We have to stop being surprised when it leads to hurt. Then finally this, it hurts because those little bricks are incredibly strong and they have no give. I read somewhere that just one little brick can take 953 pounds of pressure before it finally will crack and break. Wouldn't hurt so bad if when you stepped on it, it was soft, right? Nobody complains too often about stepping on a pillow. Nobody complains about stepping on shag carpet, generally speaking. But you step on a Lego, that little thing that has no give, that's so sharp, and it's painful. You and I have to be seeking to live in such a way that we live at peace with all. Here's the point I want to make. Romans chapter 12 at verse 18, the Bible says, as much as it depends upon you, live at peace with all. Sometimes you and I need to be the ones that give. You step on a toy that gives, it doesn't hurt. You step on a toy with no give and it hurts. When you and I are interacting with our brothers and sisters in Christ, when you and I are interacting with the people we see day in and day out in life, if we are hard as a Lego, it's just going to be pain. But if we have some give, if we have a measure of I seek to be a peacemaker. Like it says in Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, if we seek to have speech that's seasoned with salt, as it says in Matthew chapter 18, verse 35, if we seek to be people who are forgivers, knowing that if we fail to forgive, our Heavenly Father will not forgive. Ask yourself, Am I the cause of pain to others because of my unrelenting and my harsh and hard ways? Or am I the source of relief? Am I the source of peace? Am I the source of hope? Am I the source of connecting someone to Jesus Christ, who is our hope? Am I the source of giving someone compassion and showing them the love of Jesus Christ? Or am I the source of angst and pain because I have zero give? Here's the good news we have to share. We have a forgiving and a compassionate God. We have one who calls us to rest in peace. We have a God who longs to forgive. We need to share that message. I wonder if you've been stepping on a lot of Legos lately. Have you been hurting because of the sins that you've committed? Are you the cause of other people being in pain? Well, here's the good news. You and I can come before the one who is the very God of rest and peace and relief. Stop stepping on and putting yourself on the path of pain. It's time to come before and kneel before the one who's offering peace and joy. Won't you come now, even now, while we stand and sing?